Last week, we had, in a sense, while there was previous lesson touching on the subject of death, last week really was the time that we entered the subject in more detail. So this week we can properly say we look on the second part of the lesson, life and death. It's a subject that concerns, or at least should concern, every person, not just those gathering here today, but every man and every woman living on this planet. The lesson is to help us to have a better understanding of life and death. Life is a fragment. Life, as I said last week, is probation. It's a period given to us by God to examine us, to test us, and for the real us to come out as we head to eternity. So life is a fragment, which means of the entire span of our lives, both as it is spent in time and eternity, what we have now is only a piece. It's a fragment. It is an opportunity. It is on that basis the Apostle Paul said that we should redeem the time. That is, buy up, utilize, make use of. Redeem the time for the days of, the days are evil. Ephesians chapter 5 verse 16. Life is probation, as I've said. It's given to us to prove what we really are. Life and death. In the last lesson, last week, among the things looked at is the kinds are the types of death. We discussed the fact that there is physical death and there is spiritual death. We discussed from God's word that there is a first death and there is a second death. The Bible tells us about the lake of fire, that is the second death. The Bible also makes a distinction between the death of the righteous and the death of the wicked. The Bible tells us that the Almighty God has great pleasure in the death of the righteous. But not only that, the Bible went on to tell us that we are still on the distinction in death. The Bible tells us that there are those who die in Jesus Christ and those who die outside of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Death is transition. It is not finality. Death means that we are moving transition. We are moving from one stage of existence to another stage. That's what death represents. Death doesn't mean we are cut off, never to live again. No, it does not mean that. Death means we move from time to eternity. Because once we die and get over the other side of death, we are bordering along eternity. That's what death means. Death also means that we have been moved from our temporary abode to our permanent abode. Yes, this is our temporary abode. And too many are living like this is their permanent home. That's why men do not put much emphasis on the spiritual aspect of life. That's why many men and women brush aside Christianity and church and godly living. Because in their thinking, it's like, here, this is it. This is not it. So death is transition. From time to eternity, from our temporary abode to our permanent abode. It is instructive and interesting to note that not only the activities of angel at the death of the godly. That's where we ended last week. That there is a difference, and the Bibles point this out. There is a difference between the death of the godly and the death of the ungodly. In fact, just God's attitude towards the death of the righteous is indicative of the distinction, the difference. In the book of Psalms 116, verse 15, let us hear it again.
The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's. But the earth hath he given.
Is that 116 verse 15?
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
Precious in the sight of the Lord.
Is the death of his saints.
Everybody get that? And you think death is such a terrible thing. Huh? And God sees it as something precious. Precious in the sight of God is the death of his saints. But then, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 33 and verse 11, the Almighty God tells us that he does not like the death of the ungodly. Yet God finds the death of the righteous a precious thing. So there, that tells us that there is, in fact, some vast difference between the death of the godly and the death of the ungodly. But not only that, not only we find that instructive and interesting, the divine acclamation and congratulation of the positional, or should I call it the relationship, honor and praise that God gives at the death of the obedient and the faithful. Revelation 14 and verse 13. Revelation.
And I heard a voice from heaven.
What is the point here, Brother Mitchell? It is not only the activities of angel. Where do we find the activities of angel? Because we look at it last week. We notice, I'm not going to have that passage to be read because there's so much to be covered today. In the book of Luke, we have when an obedient, a godly child of God dies. How do you know what you're about to say, Brother Mitchell? Because Lazarus typifies the godly. He stands for what happened at the death of the godly. And we find there that, you know, I really find it interesting. Two people died. One of them, inspiration, heaven, simply stayed. And the rich man died and was buried. Well, we know that. When people die, that's what happens. You bury them. But notice now, the obedient, the Christian, the godly, and Lazarus died and was taken by angel. So there is a vast difference here. Huh? If you and I were sent to Montego Bay by God, and God asked one to walk, but he sent a limousine for the other one, you'd have good reason to ask what's going on. That's right. But as I said, that is not the only point. The other point about the death of the godly is the divine acclamation or the congratulation of, I term it positional or relationship honor and praise from God at the death of the righteous. Let me hear it again, brother. Revelation.
And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me,
Write.
Blessed are the dead which die.
Blessed are the dead
which die in the Lord.
You notice, we read in the book of Psalms 116 just now about how precious is the death of the righteous to God. Now this is another book written by another inspired writer. Written probably about 1,000 years after the book of Psalms was written. On the very same point. Blessed
are the dead which die.
Are the dead that die at the Lord. A particular place. Now, if you're not that, at that place, you need to change address. Blessed, not is blessed are the dead that died. Huh? No, sir. But died in
the Lord.
The Lord. Where are you? Are you there? Are you in the Lord? Because if you're not, You need to change from where you are living and begin to live in the law. That's right. And the Bible deals with that. May I? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, you must first get in Jesus Christ before you can live in Him. So you have to get in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. 2 Corinthians 5:17. So you must get in Christ. And then you must live in Christ so that you may die in Him. Because the passage in Revelation is in respect to those who die being in Christ. Wait. That is talking. The term in Christ is talking about a relationship. It's talking about a healthy, obedient, reverential relationship with God through Christ. Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. How do I get there, Brother Mitchell? Because you must first get in Christ. Wait. Just praying every day doesn't put you in Christ. Galatians chapter 3 verse 27 tells us the only way to get there.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ. Have put on Christ.
You put on Christ. So you have to get in Christ, and there is one way. Mr. Mitchell, I thought faith, because I believe in God. I thought when I believe, I was in Christ. No, sir. Wait. Your belief is good. And if you believe, it means you are on your way. But being on your way is not sufficient. You need to get in Him through faith, repentance, and baptism. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That's where you need to be. One man rightly said, to be in God's world is much. Yes, we are in God's world. This person says, that is much. But he went on to say, to be in Jesus Christ and His church is much more. And that is a fact. Another man says, to be born is a great thing. But he went on, to be born again is greater. Jesus Christ told Nicodemus, you must be born again if you are going to enter the kingdom. So you may joy over being alive, yes. And especially in the world of today, there's so much excitement going on in the world, some good, some bad. So it's a wonderful thing to be alive and to be alive now. That is from one perspective. But it is even more wonderful to be alive in Jesus Christ. May I? Remember, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. You have to be new to get in Christ. Put it another way, when you get in Christ, you are new. That, of course, is 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Watch here now. When we read what we read in the book of Luke, where the angel transport the soul or the spirit of the godly to their abode until the final judgment. When we read that, what we are gathering from God's word is that from we start out, from we form a healthy spiritual relationship with Jesus Christ at baptism, the Almighty God never leaves us alone from that time. You talk about going with us through death. That's why you have the angel. Even when we die, angels are there with us, ready to take our spirit or our soul and transport it to the world of Hades. From we form our relationship with him at baptism, he never leaves us on our own. Even in death. Hebrews chapter 13:5, you don't have to read it. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Are we there? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, when we consider all our effort, all the fuss we make in this life, and all the hassle and anxiety we go through, and all the successes and the achievements and the happiness and the failures and the unhappiness and the suffering we experience here, you know what counts? The state in which we live this life. That's what comes. When we put all the things we go through in this life, success, failure, happiness, unhappiness, effort, toil, good time, bad times, the bottom line, the one thing that's going to count is the type of relationship spiritually that we have when we depart this life. That is our spiritual relationship, our relationship with God. And somebody said, Brother Mitchell, I thought you were talking about death. Isn't it what we are talking about? Do you want or expect me to get deep in it? Well, if that's what you want, let us go there then, no? Last week I mentioned that we are given only so much time here. Huh? Psalm 98 through 10. Let us have it. Another brother, turn to Psalms 39 verse 4. Let us hear Psalms 90, verse 8 through 10. The fact that we are given only so much time here. Let us have it.
Thou hast set our iniquities before thee.
You have set our sins, our iniquity before you, God.
Our secret sins in the light of the countenance.
Even those sins of ours that no one knows about, and sometimes we do not even recognize them, either through ignorance or through self-righteous attitude. God is aware of those sins. Read on.
For all our days are passed away.
All our days are passed away.
In thy wrath.
In thy wrath. Are you there? What does that mean? We vex God every day. Huh? The Bible talks about God long suffering towards us. Read on, brother.
We spend our years as a tale that is told.
Y'all get that? The 40 or the 50 or the 60 or the 70 or the 80 or the 90 or 100 years that we spend here is not such a long time. It's like a tale that is told. Read.
The days of our years are 70 years.
That's 70 years.
And if by
wait, brother, take time. David is saying, of course, in the time of David, longevity was longer than that. But, you know, he said the days of our years are 70. Read.
And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years.
If through God's mercy or whatever, we live a little longer. Read.
Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow. For it is soon cut off.
That's right. We're not going to live forever in sin. So when you live to see 100, don't make the mistake in thinking that you'll be here forever. Not in this sinful state. We are given only limited time. That's verse, what, brother?
10.
10. Step down to verse 12. When 10 finish.
And we fly away.
We fly away.
So teach us to number our days.
Teach us to number our days.
That we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
Isn't that a wonderful prayer? You see, what the psalmist is saying, life here is so brief, is so short, that help us, God, to realize how short it is, so that we will wise up and live in a right relationship with you. Let us hear the other Psalms 39, verse 4.
Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days.
You all get it? This is another great prayer. Because a lot of times, sometimes we live here like we are immortal. And while we may have an immortal soul, we are not going to live in this sinful world forever. What he said, dear brother?
Lord, make me to know mine end.
Make me to know my end.
And the measure of my days.
And how many days you give me.
What it is.
What it is.
That I may know how frail I am.
Isn't that wonderful? Help me always, God, to remember that I am a mortal. That I'm going to die. That I am frail. It matters not how healthy and vigorous and strong I feel. Help me to realize always that I am a mortal. Great prayer. So with this in mind, that we are given only so much time here, I ask the question that I asked last week. Who or what are the factors or realities contributing and determining longevity? That is, what are at play in whether I live for 20 years and die, 40 years and die, 50 years and die, 70 years and die, 80 years and die, 90. What determines that? Is it God? Is it the individual? Is it outside factors? Does it depend on my knowledge about health? Is it my righteous living? Is it my ungodly living? What is it that determines longevity? How long or how short my life is? Oh, can we take a little deeper look into this? Brothers and sisters, let us look briefly how each of these plays some part. First, let us look at what part God plays. May I? there are people who will say, if God fix that me live only 50 years, me I go live me 50 years. Yes, to some extent, but it's not that simple. Truly. And some of you have thought that. And if God fix on me to live only 50, me I go live me 50 years. You know why that have some cracks in it? The Almighty God created us as morally responsible beings. That is, there is no aspect of our lives that we do not bear some responsibility for. Remember that always. So, if I am a careless and irresponsible person in respect, watch here now, in respect to how I eat and what I eat, the Almighty God fixed it that going to impact upon my longevity. God fixed that. You know why? Because I am a morally responsible person. God fix it that way, that every aspect of my life, I bear some responsibility. That's the way God fix it. If I am careless, irresponsible, just galanso about so many aspects of my life, they're going to have bearing on my health, my longevity, how long I live. What about outside forces, Brother Mitchell? Yes, that play a part too. If I live in an area where there are a lot of heavy industry, and all of this, you know, is dealing with responsibility. I live in an area where there are heavy industry, and those industry are kicking off fumes daily, weekly. And I am living there for 30, 40 years and inhaling that fume. Sooner or later, I am going to contract cancer and other disease. Now, in a sense, I am not responsible. It is the carelessness of others that impact on me. And watch here, in many cases, God, wait. You see, let me put him up here. In many cases, God, depending on what plan God has for your life or my life, in many cases, God can let his veto power enter the picture and overthrow the negative effect of that cancerous fume on you. There are other stages or other cases where God can let his permissive will play out, that God just let the thing have its course. That is God's permissive will. What the place name? Chernobyl, where the Russian Chernobyl, yes, and it is pointed out even in recent time that to this day people who live in that area contract more cancer because of the nuclear disaster that they had there some 20, 30 years or whatever ago. Here you are, I as a Christian live probably 20 miles from there. We were not the one who built these nuclear plants and whatever. We just live there. But it affects us. And what I'm saying is that God's permissive or efficacious will comes into play depending on what God wants. God's efficacious will is where the Almighty God entered the picture and decided that He has a special work for you, and He doesn't want that cancer or whatever other ailment to affect your life. So God entered the picture. There are other times His permissive will. What do you mean by His permissive will? When Herod decided to kill some of the Christians to please the Jews, are we all there? He killed James. You remember it? Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12. James was a faithful child of God. And the Almighty God, as if He were, fold His hand and just stand there and watch them kill His faithful followers. That's God's permissive will. From all indication in history, Peter was crucified with his head turned down. And God just stand there with all the power that He has and just stand there and watch it. Like He can't do anything about it. And God could do everything about it. That's what I talk about, God's permissive will. We are still talking about what determines whether I live for 20, 40, 50, 70, 80, 90, or 100 years. What are the factors? I'm here pointing out that because the Almighty God makes us morally responsible agent, where we are responsible for almost every aspect of our lives, even though the Almighty God has the final say so. You get it? You are at work. You are an employee. In fact, you might be the manager of a particular department. So you make decisions for that department. The owner of the business holds you responsible. But watch here now. The owner of the business has the prerogative to come and overthrow any decision you make. He's the owner of the business. This business called life and death, God is the owner. And He has veto power. Wait. When you and I observe all the health and dietary laws, you acquaint yourself with the values and the nutritional worth of all the mineral and vitamins, and you take whatever you know you are to take. You realize that as we get older, important nutrient that the body used to produce, it does not produce them in adequate amount anymore as we get up in age. You also realize that the very food we eat that should supply these things, sometimes the soil is depleted. And when you think you're getting adequate vitamin C from eating that orange, because of where the orange tree was planted and the soil is somewhat depleted. So the experts say, take this, take that, and you take them, and you feel that everything is okay. The Almighty God still has veto power. We are still on the point, who is responsible? We deal with outside forces. We deal with you, the individual, the responsibility that God placed in your hand. We deal with the fact that the Almighty God can intervene efficaciously or permissively, because life and death belong to God. Are we all there? What do you mean life and death belong to God, Brother Mitchell? There is a passage, I think, in Romans that tells me, I think it is Romans chapter 14, verse 7 through 9. Read before I get to the end of the lesson. I have still another few minutes left. Quite a few minutes. Romans what? 14, 7 following.
For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself.
May I? Don't move, brother. You get what this is saying? In fact, read on.
For whether we live unto the Lord.
Uh-huh.
And whether we die unto the Lord.
Read on.
Whether we live therefore or die, we are the Lord's.
You all got it? That the Almighty God is involved in the totality of our lives. Be it we are alive or we are dead, God is a part of life and death. We not just die stop. God is involved. We not just live so. God is involved. Yes, you have always thought that you are the captain of your own ship. And to some extent you are right. But remember, there is a bigger captain than you. And life and death. There are men and women who have tried to take their lives and did everything, and yet they couldn't die. Truly, they tried to commit suicide. Because for some reason, God wants them to be alive. True? No man dies to himself. No man lives to himself. You finished, brother?
For to this end, Christ both died and rose.
Mm-hmm.
And revived that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living.
You get it? Jesus Christ is not only Lord Jesus in respect to the living, but he's Lord Jesus in respect to the dead. Because the dead are alive to Christ somewhere.
Amen. Amen.
So ladies and gentlemen, may I? So what determines? What are the factors that determine longevity? Is it God, the individual? Outside factors. Is it the knowledge we have? Wait. Is it our godly or ungodly living? What part these play? May I? Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. God inspired revelation. Tithes, you need to get this. Tithes, Brother Mitchell, start again. I was a little distracted. Okay, I'm glad now I have your attention. God's inspired revelation, tithes, godly obedient, righteous living to long life, all other things being equal. Brother Mitchell, I don't understand what you say. Well, you know, I always try to make you understand it. The Word of God, the Bible, in so many instances, it ties obedient living, godly living, Christian living to long life, all other things being equal. I'm going to explain all of that. Let us look first to Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 40. Chapter 5, verse 15, I think, and 16. Let us hear it.
Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes and his commandments, mm-hmm. which I command thee this day, mm-hmm. that it may go well with thee, mm-hmm. and with thy children after thee, mm-hmm. and that thou mayest prolong thy days.
Wait, take time with that little part, brother. Start again, because you just got to something there that is important to the lesson. Thou must do what?
Thou shalt keep therefore his statutes.
That is, you must be obedient to what God says. Read.
And his commandments.
Whatever he commands you, strive to live by it.
Which I command thee this day, mm-hmm. that it may go well with thee.
Wait. It has some benefits.
And with
when you be obedient to God, God will so direct your life that things will go right. Wait. It doesn't mean negative things will not happen, but God will override them. Read.
And with thy children after thee.
Mm-hmm. Read.
And that thou mayest prolong thy days.
When you are obedient to God, and the directive which he gives you, you will prolong your days. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? It means you will live long. Read.
Upon the earth, mm-hmm. which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Okay, let us have a New Testament passage now and that. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, 2, and 3.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on earth.
The Apostle Paul is quoting this from the Old Testament. You get what I got from it? That he's telling us that it is still relevant under the New Testament. That's why he quoted and asking children who probably were children of Christian parents, that children must obey their parents. You children in the audience, remember that. Remember that. It was stated in the Ten Commandments, but the fact that it is being repeated here by this great apostle is telling us it is still relevant, obedient to the will of God. Wait, brother, you ain't finished.
That it may be well with thee. And thou mayest live long on the earth.
You all hear that? Now there are some other passages that I want to... Well, they are coming up. They are coming up. I have a few more minutes and the lesson will be yours. Oh, Lord. Hold Deuteronomy chapter 30. whole Proverbs chapter 11. Hold those passages. May I? Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, remember where we are. We are what determining that this nice young man or young woman, so mannerly, so well behaved, died at age 20. What caused this nice man, just in the prime of life, 45, 50, he died what we call an untimely death. Then, wait, what make this man, this woman, live to see 90 years old? And you know what? He wasn't so nice, you know. And he lived to see 90, 95. He was so miserable and cantankerous. What determined that? That's what we are looking at. And we have just pointed out that the Bible teaches that living, obedient, godly Christian life have something to do with long life. But may I say something else? Right along that line, the Bible teaches that vice, that is evil doing, disobedience, ungodly living, evil, wickedness, they are all tied to short life. Then, Brother Mitchell, why some really devilish people live long? Well, let me, before I address that, let me repeat what I say. The Bible has shown that vice, person who just have no respect for right. The Bible teaches that disobedience, ungodly living, evil, wickedness are tied to short life in many instances. What we must keep in mind is that most, if not all of our action, they have an immediate and they have a remote result. Mr. Mitchell, you want to repeat that? Well, when I have to repeat things, so much you work me much. So let me repeat it since you asked. All, or rather most, if not all, of our actions, they have immediate and remote result. Are we all there? One man says, what we weave, this is weave, the fabric. What we weave in time, we will wear it in eternity. And that is telling us that our action here has remote consequences. Are we all there? Evil brings evil and death. Death is never far from sin and evil. Wait. That's a fact. Death is never far from sin and evil. Deuteronomy 30:15. Proverbs 11:19.
See, I have set before thee this day life and good.
See, I have set before thee this day life
and good.
Wait, read.
and death and evil.
May I wish this was a Bible study, because I would ask for your input. Notice how God ties them. I've set before you this day,
life and good.
And good.
And
notice death
and evil.
And evil. You notice how they appear? May I? You see what God is teaching here? Life is tied to good behavior. Death is tied to evil behavior. That's the lesson in it. And the Almighty God is telling the Israelites that they have a choice. Are we all there? Look at Proverbs, the wise man, chapter 11 and verse 19.
As righteousness tendeth to life.
Wait. In the meantime, brother, turn to the same book of Proverbs, chapter 13 and verse 21. Let me hear that, brother.
As righteousness tendeth to life.
Everybody gets that? Right living in respect to God's directive for us. As righteousness tended to life. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? Right living tend to enhance life.
So he that pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death.
Somebody didn't hear that. Everybody gets that? When we live ungodly, disobedient, evil lives, because death is never far from evil. Let me hear that again.
As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil, pursueth it to his own death.
You all hear it? Let me hear the other passage. Chapter 13, verse 21.
Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid.
You all hear that? When a man or woman just lives in sin, in disregard to God's law and directive, what he said there about evil?
Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous, good shall be repaid.
You get it? So there we have it, brothers and sisters. Let me just wrap up this aspect of the lesson. There is a divine track record from Old to New Testament showing that we have something to do with the extent of our lives, whether sometimes it's cut short or it is extended. May I just throw this out, because I will not be able to address that. May I? There are times when a wicked and godly person live long. May I just throw this out? The Almighty God sometimes gives people long life so that they may repent. The Almighty God sometimes calls an obedient child of his home early for that person's own good. In last week's lesson, we see Hezekiah. The Almighty God extended his life, and it was the extension of his life that caused him to backslide. Had God carried out his first attempt, set thine house in order, for you are going to die and not live. Had God called him home right then, Hezekiah would not have had a chance to backslide, because he was in a right relationship with God then. I'm just throwing this out. I'm not going to be dealing with that aspect about the fact that sometimes a godly person is called home in the prime of their lives. Sometimes a wicked person is given time. The Almighty God is doing that for, among other things, to get the person to repent and turn to God. But that being said, let me just run down, just quick, we're not going to read these passages. One, as I've said, God has left a track record of men and women whose life and conduct had direct bearing on whether they live long or short. One. In the book of Genesis, I'm not even going to give you the chapter because I'm just running these down in a few minutes. In the book of Genesis, Judah, two first sons, one of them was killed by God, and the Bible states why God took him. He was wicked. So there, that passage is telling us that his wickedness cut his life short. The other son was killed because he showed disrespect to God's directive that when his brother died, he should marry his brother's wife and bear children to his brother's name. He didn't want to bear children to his brother's name. So he took steps to avoid that. And God killed him for that. That's right. As I said, we don't have time to read these passages. But you can come back tonight with your question. That is two cases in the book of Genesis. Can we move on in the book of Numbers? In the book of Numbers, we see life cut short because of pride and arrogance. May I just give you a little hint here? Korah and some thousands of other Israelites. The Almighty God cut their life short because of their arrogance and pride. He opened the earth and took them in. That is case two. Case three. Life cut short because of sin. And you know this one very well. Nadab and God burned them up because they show disrespect for worship. We all get it. What are you showing, Brother Mitchell? That God has left a track record that ungodly disobedient disrespect to God's way of life, it has bearing on longevity. Another case four, in the book of Numbers, we see God sent poisonous snake among the Israelites because of sin. You know that well. Why was the poisonous snake sent among the Israelites? Sin. So all those who were bitten by the snake and died, their lives were cut short because of sin. Five. Jeroboam, total disregard for anything that God said, and his irreligiousness and the introduction of idolatry into Israel, the Almighty God dealt with him severely. Oh Lord. You know, let me make this, because I was going to, there are some 12, 13 cases, but I'm going to stop at this one. And here we have even a case where, are you all there? Where a man shows arrogance. He's like, he not hear what God says and what God prophet says. And you know what? When the Almighty God dealt with him, his very posterity, the Almighty God make it so that even the children which he had, Jehu wiped them out, that he would not have anything left back here to remind history of him, because of the man's sin and disobedience. And that's why I'm sorry I don't have time to read these passages. Should we go into the New Testament? There is no less than 4 cases in the New Testament. May I give you one that is relevant to us? There's a person there named Sapphira. And who? Ananias. Did you know, brother, they could have lived longer? Huh? What was their sin, Brother Mitchell? In sin, sincerity. And God cut their lives short. It was not sufficient for them to rob God. They had to lie about it and pretend. Can I give you a few more new tests? No. Time for me to be. Wait. May I? We have a last lesson next week, and you know what that one title? Crossing your Jordan. The Israelite crossing Jordan was pointing to the death of the Christian. How come so, Brother Mitchell? Come next week. Yes. There are Israelites who did not want to cross the Jordan to enter the promised land because things looked so good for them in the wilderness. As they approached Jordan, crossing it, they would be in the promised land. They asked Joshua to let them stay in the wilderness. But for you and I to get to the promised land of eternity, we must go through death. That is the lesson. And there's much to learn from the Israelite next week. But right now, remember that the Almighty God, in many instances, ties obedient, Christian, godly living to long life. I don't say in all cases, I say in many cases. And I've just given you about half a dozen cases, and there's another half a dozen that I could relate to you. Yes, it is not a case where God gives you 60 years and you must live the 60. No. You're going to play a responsible part in whether you live that 60 or not. God, of course, has the final word. Right now, you have learned enough today to give you reason to realize that God is great and he is in control of everything, and that he wants you to willingly, obediently turn your life over to him. Because God has your good at heart. Come now, believing in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's Son. Come now, repenting of your sin. Come now, confessing Christ's name. Come right now and getting baptized. Are you telling me that you are sprinkled or confirmed and therefore baptized? No. If you are sprinkled or confirmed, that is not Bible baptism. You must be buried in the water like Christ was buried in the tomb. God brought you here today to listen to this lesson, to help you to understand that in life or in death you are responsible to God. To help you to understand that death is a transition. Death only places us in eternity where we leave time. Come now. Jesus Christ wants to prepare you for eternity. As we stand, Christ comes. 557. 557. Jesus.